After 9/11, it became very apparent to the Department of Defense seniors that the Defense Protective Service, which was basically a security force to keep the Pentagon safe, was not capable of handling what would be then become the future of force protection. The Department of Defense seniors went before Congress and asked for the creation of a new agency. That agency was called the Pentagon Force Protection Agency, PFPA as we refer to it. And with it came an incredible growth spurt. We went from about 350 total employees, about 250 or a little bit more than that may have been law enforcement. And today, the law enforcement piece is about 850. The balance, the agency is approaching 13 or maybe a little bit over 1,300 people. Prior to 9/11, the reservation was wide open to the public. You could walk right on the reservation. Today, we're very slowly closing that down. And to take a building like the Pentagon, an international tourist attraction, surrounded by multiple highways, a mall right across the street, and Washington, D.C. right across the river, bike paths and pedestrian paths everywhere, you have to have a lot of resources to watch these people and watch the activities that that creates 24/7, 365 with no time off. You have to stay on your toes. If the terrorist is to be successful, he only has to have one good day. If I have a bad day and he exploits that bad day, I failed and our mission has failed. And the Pentagon Force Protection Agency and its 1,300 people take that extremely serious because we know a number of us were here on 9/11, how serious that is and what the consequences could be.
You mentioned in the beginning some tremendous workforce growth after 9/11 and with PFPA's creation. Is that primarily just more boots on the ground doing what you used to do, or is most of that actual expanded mission?
It's a little bit of both. There's a lot more boots on the ground. That is absolutely correct, and that's a good analogy. But the other boots on the ground, which may not be attached to law enforcement, which is my part, and the security piece, are people who are doing things to support us. And there's a lot of information that goes through PFPA employees, which are not law enforcement, every day that's filtered and determined how best the law enforcement security and force protection mission can be met by that information. So it's processed and analyzed, gathered, or I should reverse that, gathered, analyzed, and processed, and then put out to us so that we can effectively use it day to day to change what the public sees and hopefully our adversary sees as our protection environment.
I understand not wanting to get into too much granular detail about what's changed, but there are some very visible changes that everybody knows about, like moving the metro entrance outside the building. I think Highway 110 was redone to improve the... So overall, compared to 10 years ago, security posture of the building, pretty different.
It's changed, yes. And as you know, in March, we had March 4th, 2010, we had a shooter, John Patrick Bedell, who tried to shoot his way into the Pentagon, and unfortunately, we had to negate that, but we are constantly aware that that threat exists every day. We are aware that there are people out there, for whatever reason, mean us harm and don't care too much about the significance of the building and what we do to protect them. It's about their own personal agenda, and keeping it safe from that without making it look like a fortress is a delicate balance, because we have a lot of really good Americans and others who want to come here and visit us for nothing more than to say, I saw the Pentagon with my own eyes. And like I said, they don't come with signs on their head that said, I'm a terrorist or I mean you harm. So you have to treat everybody the same, but at the same time be very mindful of the fact that there could be someone or some many ones among those groups of people that mean us harm and could do things to harm us if we let them.
The Bedell case that you mentioned is a pretty extreme example of someone trying to attack the Pentagon. What does your workforce do on a day-to-day basis? What types of incidents make up the bulk of what you do?
Well, again, without getting into too much of the security things that we do, let's just say that we pay attention to people because we know that people watch us. So we try to look different, and we do what we can day-to-day to not change what the public sees outwardly, but because of our training and some of the assets that we have, we can make sure that if their intentions aren't just to come here and take a picture with mom and dad and whatever, that we can evaluate their conduct.
The question we have to ask all federal agency leaders right now is budget. Impacts to your agency right now, or is your workforce going to be able to hold steady? What else is happening under those terms?
You're absolutely right. The budget is a big piece of this. Now, right now, Mr. Panetta believes that security is one of those things we won't compromise on. Our director, Mr. Calvary, also believes in that. So right now we're trying to keep the workforce intact. But in our plans and programs, things that we had planned for the out years, there were either change or we'll not get them done quite as fast as we had hoped to get them done, or brought to fruition quite as quickly as we'd hoped. But we see the big picture, and even with the cuts, what we've decided to do rather than cut services is become more agile, make ourselves lean where we can. We do things like, what can we do better with less people? How can we streamline the service without compromising the service? And so far, that has turned out actually pretty well.
There's other federal police agencies in this town, obviously, that have similar missions to you, Federal Protective Service, other agencies that are in charge of protecting federal facilities and federal people. Talk about how you work with them to the extent you do to share best practices and meet your common mission.
After 9/11, I think if you talk to the executives with CIA and the FBI and all the federal partners, they would probably all admit to you that we probably weren't doing as good a job as we could have sharing information. More specifically to your question about FPS, our missions are very, very similar. What's different is the buildings that we serve. In fact, we have a couple of buildings that we actually share with them. But the point I was going to make was that the change in the way that we share information has made exponential changes in the way we do business. Everyone is trying to save a buck today. And that's simplifying it really, but we are all trying to find ways to save our budget, and by utilizing resources from other agencies that share a specific mission so there's not a duplication in service is a very important thing, not just for me and for the director of our agency, but also for the director of the Federal Protective Service and the FBI and the CIA and DEA and ATF and all the others throughout the U.S. Marshals and all of our local partners and state partners. We're all invested in this. And one of the things that we're blessed with here in the National Capital Region is everyone here in the National Capital Region, and I'm dead serious about this, the police chiefs all know each other by first name, whether you're federal, state, or local. We meet monthly, sometimes multiple times a month. We get to know each other on a first-name basis to the point where when we need an asset, it's not like going through a lot of red tape to get it. You say, hey, Joe or John or Mary or Phyllis, I need help with something. And they say, let me see what I can do, and we get it accomplished. To those of us who in the past like to put our arms around our own mission and say, we'll take care of ourselves, thank you for the offer. No one can afford to do it today. I don't care who you are. And if the United States military or the Department of Defense, which has a pretty significant budget, is in that type of budget environment, then you can imagine that the smaller agencies are worse off than we are. So we have to do this. We're actually finding ourselves doing things that years ago we never would do, sharing resources with other agencies that in the past we would, especially DOD, would not typically want to do. And without a lot of formal documentation or red tape, we're trying to make it a more streamlined process so that we can just take care of the mission, take care of each other. That's what it's all about.